the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome to Business Rockstars. My rock star today, Jonathan Budd. He is the CEO and founder of Power. Thanks for sitting down and chatting with me.
I'm glad to be here.
Good. So tell everyone, what is Power?
You know, Power is a movement, if I can just be totally straightforward.
We like straightforward.
Yeah. You know, we're more of a movement than a business. We want to accelerate the adoption of solar energy worldwide. And we're doing that by empowering, right now, thousands of people. Our aspirations are millions of people to really engage by becoming solar entrepreneurs. So we've built a platform that allows almost anyone to become a solar entrepreneur in all the markets we currently serve, which is 29 U.S. states and Canada.
Amazing. And I think we all know this is important, but
Hopefully. Sometimes
we don't know why. And that's the next step in order to just kind of push us over the edge to be more mindful of using solar energy. So if you could explain why this is so important.
It's absolutely critical. You know, obviously, we have huge business icons like Elon Musk, who have very clearly made the case for why we need to get off fossil fuels, and tons of scientists and everybody else. But there's more to it than just that. It's more than just saving the future of our planet, right? It's just a smarter choice for energy. It limits pollution. It returns energy independence. It puts money back in people's pockets. It's cheaper. It's more efficient. And it's abundant. There's not a limited amount of this stuff that's eventually going to run out. There's 4 billion years of unlimited sunshine. Why are we still digging up fuels, burning them, polluting our planet, and doing it more expensive a lot of the times than the alternative that we have today? It just makes no sense why the world isn't solar powered.
Yeah, the alternative makes way more sense, especially when you explain it the way you did, and has so many more benefits than just benefiting our Earth, which alone is a really good reason, but monetarily, and so many other reasons to go this route. So what inspired you specifically to want to get into this line of work?
Well, you know, I don't know if it's a common story, but it seems like there's some commonality to it. But I had another business and I did fairly well at that business and I lost the passion for that business. It just seemed like life wanted to take me in a different direction. And I'm very motivated by that internal feeling of what's driving me. What am I really passionate about? What's going to make me so enthusiastic and excited every single day when I get out of bed that I just can't stop? I want to do that. And if I start to feel that energy wane, it affects my business, right? So my old business stopped getting the best of me. And I felt myself being called into a business that had much more impact, something that I knew was making a bigger difference, that was going to leave a real legacy that lasted way longer than I would, you know, be on this planet for. That's what motivated me. That drove me.
Yeah, you know, almost every entrepreneur that I interview says the number one thing is you have to have passion. And it's a little cliche, but it's cliche for a reason. And that's because it's so true. There is that intangible factor as an entrepreneur that you have to have that energy, that passion. That is what keeps you going. That's what helps you get to that next level, to be sustainable, to ultimately be successful, whatever your definition is, right?
In a huge way. Maybe there's people out there that it's not required in the same way, but I think for most entrepreneurs, if that's not there, then it's just dead.
Yeah. So one of the main messages I know you want to share with our entrepreneurs is that you don't have to come from a pristine background, which I think is amazing because it's so easy as an entrepreneur. You're scared to death to start this endeavor that has no guaranteed results. And there are a million things that can talk you out of starting in the first place. And one of those things can be, I don't know the right person. I don't have enough money. I don't have the best skill set out there. There's so many things that can talk you out of it. But I think you are an amazing example of how you came from humble beginnings, had many challenges, and you turned those obstacles into opportunities. So if you could take us back to, you really had kind of a pivotal moment in your life where you decided, I'm going to change my course and do amazing things. So take me back to that time in high school.
Well, I haven't really shared this story with a lot of people, but I suppose it's time. Yeah, I mean, by the time I was 16 years old, Alex, I was basically looking at doing 90 days in prison. I was already on probation. I had just gotten arrested again. The way that I avoided that was I agreed to go to rehab centers. And for 9 months, you know, my entire junior year in high school, I was gone. I wasn't in high school. I was in different therapeutic programs across the country, which, thank God, I mean, I was even lucky that I had that. And, you know, that was sort of the beginning of the change in my life. But just to give an idea, I mean, it was bad. It was highly probable that my life would have been spent in a prison, not sitting here today. And when I was 20 years old, the sort of the thing that put the finishing touches on everything is that my lifestyle eventually led to me being taken hostage at gunpoint in the middle of the night by two people who broke into my house. And I sort of felt in that moment, after that moment, after that whole experience subsided, that I was going to die if I did not change my life, that I had reached the end of the road, that I had no more chances. This path is leading nowhere. And for whatever luck, I don't know why it happened, but I just decided to change my life. And I went in another direction, and I ignored the noise, and I ignored the old friends, and I just got myself out of that environment, and I did whatever I needed to do to change my life. And when I made that decision, it was like positivity exploded in another direction. So I think a lot of times it really can be as simple as making a decision that you're going to change your life and aligning yourself with that true direction that you really want to be going in and just not stopping. And man, I failed forward. I had nothing. I had no mentors, no background, no experience, no reach, nothing. I mean, it was just like pure luck, stumbling from one thing to another thing to another thing that put me on this path today. So, and I have a very blessed life today.
Yeah, you've really created something huge out of nothing, which is so powerful. And thank you for sharing your story, because people need to hear that. You are such an inspiration, and we are so lucky to have your purposeful work in this world. And one of the things I love most about this story is that it goes to show that sometimes there's so much opportunity at rock bottom. There's something you're meant to find, and how you really had this within you all along, because there are so many books and podcasts and coaches and resources out there that want to teach you how to live in positivity and do amazing things, but you literally just found it within you. You always had it within you, and you just had to, like you said, make that decision. So what advice do you have for someone who maybe is thinking about making that kind of decision to live in positivity and really start moving forward and taking action in their life? What advice do you have for them?
That's a really good point. The first one would be to recognize that you have it in you. You know, we've got to recognize who we truly are in a sense, you know? So if you need a mentor, if you need a guide, if you need whatever you need, go find it, but then own it. Recognize, wow, this is me. I am an amazing human being. I'm capable of amazing things. I have limitless potential inside of me, and I don't need anything else to prove it. I don't need a book. I don't need this. I don't need that. It's all already in here. And I think that's a fundamental place that really powerful people operate from. And it's within every single one of us. It's just that I think a lot of people don't choose it. They don't recognize it. Recognize it. And of course, you can't discount all of the tactics and the techniques and the learning and the education and all of that's required.
It has its purpose, and it's very, very helpful. And I'm sure that you leaned on resources as you grew in your journey as well. But that initial just start to get you going is within you. And I think you really hit on something very important, and that's the self-worth component, is you really do have to have that moment, that aha moment of, I am worthy, I'm deserving, and capability. I am capable of moving forward.
Super good. Yeah, that is beautiful. That was actually the moment that I can remember. I can remember choosing, I'm going to choose to love myself because I'm worth it. And that's why I made the decision to exit that old life and move into a new life. So yes, like that self-worth is almost core to going in the direction and really creating things positively, I think.
And it changed everything.
It changed absolutely everything. And it was a long, it is a journey. Journey never ends. But yes, that was the pivotal moment, changed everything.
This is a perfect time to take a little break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about more where you are now and how you got there as you continued that journey. So sit tight. Me too. We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 0707 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 0707. Enjoy.
This report is...
We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome back to Business Rockstars. We're continuing our powerful conversation with Jonathan Budd, CEO and founder of Power. And we were joking during the break that, okay, hard part's over. Now we can talk about the easy stuff. Not so much. That obviously was probably the most important part, that pivotal moment. But then the work really has just begun because you never arrive. It's always a journey. And you decided you wanted to set out on this entrepreneurial journey. So how did you get into entrepreneurship?
It was literally stumbling in. So I got a call one day from an uncle, family member, he wanted to introduce me to a business opportunity in network marketing. I was 20 years old and I had nothing better going on. So that seemed about the only opportunity I had. And I said, well, what the heck, you know, why not? And that was really my gateway, you know, and the early struggles of just every idea you have for how you're going to win and how you're going to succeed, pretty much failing. You know, at that moment, you can either quit or you can solve the problem and figure out how you're going to succeed. And so you do that enough and you learn a lot.
Yeah. Okay. And then you had your first wildly successful business by the time you were, what, 24? Tell me about that business.
26. Yep. 26. So I started a digital publishing company when I was 24. And we did over $10 million in revenue in the first 24 months, basically. That company went on to do about $25 million in revenue before I left and went and started Power. So that was my early 20s, mid-20s, and I think I cut my teeth, you know, as a business person through that company, and now really just getting started, I think, applying those lessons forward.
Yeah, so tell me about what were some of those lessons that you learned through that business that now you have taken with you to Power because they're so helpful.
Well, actually, the businesses are so different. I almost had to throw out everything that I learned. Like nothing that worked in that business worked in this business. In fact, it often held me back. The marketing strategies, the way of thinking, the sort of fast product cycles and just everything, it did not work. It was the antithesis of what was really required to grow Power. So it was very odd. But what I was left from all that experience with was... almost just like that nitty-grittiness of being an entrepreneur. You know, I had the resources, I had the wherewithal to start the journey to grow Power.
Yeah, and that's a really good point that all that stuff, the logistics, how do you market it? How do you operate it? That can be learned and it must be learned because it's important. But what the constant is you need that grit and yes. that work ethic as an entrepreneur. So what would you say yes. are the qualities you possessed as an entrepreneur that have allowed you to continue to be an entrepreneur and start another business?
A vision that is really motivating and really inspiring. I think that you have to have a vision. You know, you've got to be able to look out into the world, you know, 10 years from today. The longer, the better. One of my really good friends and a great mentor told me that the difference between a millionaire and a billionaire is that and he is a billionaire, so he can actually tell me this. Yeah. A millionaire has a one-year vision. A billionaire has a 20-year vision. And that really stuck with me. And so I think, you know, if you got a one-year vision, great. You can probably build a million-dollar business. But the bigger that vision becomes, the more inspiring it is. If you could literally see how is my company, how is my product, how is my service going to be able to affect people and create value decades from now, you've got something really awesome on your hands.
So other than having a strong vision, what's one more thing that you thought was that intangible every entrepreneur needs to have and that you certainly wanted to have as you went from your first to your second business?
Well, you need a network. And you don't need, you know, a network can grow, you know, as you scale. My network today was not my network 10 years ago, right? So at the level of success that you're at, you can grow your network, but you have to be building a network. Like you have to be interacting with other movers and shakers and human beings that have resources, have skill, have talent, have this, have that. I never really knew the power of my network until I chose to start Power. And I needed my network and I needed them. I needed their advice. I needed their money. I needed their resources. I needed people in a way that I never needed people before. And if I hadn't invested in all those relationships and spent years with people and kept things going and interacted so many times, I don't think I would have had the network that was really required to launch Power. You know,
yeah, it's okay to ask for help. I think as entrepreneurs, sometimes we get so used to bootstrapping, especially in the beginning, and wearing a bunch of different hats that you can get so focused on doing it yourself, but it's good and necessary to ask for help, right?
It's not easy.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not easy. I felt so uncomfortable, Alex, when I first started raising money. I mean, the first business required zero capital. We scaled it from nothing to millions with no capital, right? So asking for money was like this very odd thing.
Yeah.
And it was so uncomfortable and it brought forward so many different, like, you know, oh God, is this me being needy? I'm going to annoy this person? Like what's, you know, all these self-worth things, right? And but at the end of the day, you know, that was my growth edge. And I chose to accept it.
And you went the crowdfunding route, right?
Oh, they've raised money from everywhere. So no.
From everywhere,
okay. We've raised millions from angel investors. And then our last round was a $1.4 million round. We did crowdfunding.
Wow. Okay. So tell me about both and what it's like to get angel investment versus crowdfunding and
like crowdfunding.
Insight you have.
Okay. Now, it fits my nature, you know, online marketer, you know, digital publishing.
A lot of storytelling intertwined.
Yeah, storytelling. So, you know, I'm not going to say it's the right way for everybody, but my God, for us, it was phenomenal because it fit so many of my skills and our team skills. And it's just, yeah, it was a lot more uncomfortable asking everybody for money one by one by one by one.
Versus if you ask a group collectively, yeah, then it's a little
ask a
less
group and make a video and share your yeah. story with the world.
Well, I think in general, when you are using your story as a vehicle to ask for something, it's more powerful than feeling like you're just, you know, directly asking. So that's a good lesson for if you are going to angel investors, to the power of storytelling. So it doesn't feel quite as, you know, preachy or whatever. All right. We've got time for one more quick question. What is your number one piece of advice for aspiring and new entrepreneurs?
There is no proven path for what you want to do. So just start. Just do it. because the alternative is that you have no idea what you could be missing out on and losing out on by not doing it. I mean, you have no idea how amazing life can be if you do it, if you take action. So just try.
Once you're on the momentum train, it just keeps going forward, and it's in the action that you can really cultivate and create what you want to create. Well, thank you so much for stopping by, sharing your powerful story, all your amazing insights, and thank you so much for your purposeful work in this world.
It was my pleasure, Alex. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining us right now is David Slay. He's the CEO of Hestia Tobacco. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So Hestia Tobacco, you're obviously in the tobacco industry, but what specific? What do you guys do? What do you provide?
So Hestia Tobacco is the first all-natural, totally pure tobacco company in a generation.
So, pure tobacco, is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay, explain that, because a lot of people out there don't know the difference.
Oh, absolutely. So there's a lot of, when you walk into Walgreens to buy a pack of cigarettes, you'll see about 30, 40 brands behind the counter.
And, at least, right?
At least. And what most folks don't know is that all of those brands are owned by one of two companies, RJ Reynolds and Philip Morris, or Altria as they renamed themselves. And they use, it's a very commodified product using a very low grade mixed tobacco that there's a world of difference between their products and ours.
And pure tobacco.
And ours. So we're not yet USDA organic certified. That's a process that takes some time, but we are growing to organic standards and using the very best that we can find.
So this is an industry that I feel like is not something that you just kind of have an idea because you saw something on Shark Tank and you're like, I am going to have an idea and raise some money. You're competing against two giant gorilla companies. And I feel like there's not a lot of people that try to get into the space unless they're very, very, very niched. So why did you choose to get into the space?
I chose to get into tobacco because I met a lot of really interesting farmers that meant a lot to me. I was trading soybeans for ADM down in Valdosta, Georgia, and was buying the cash crop and arbitraging it at the Board of Trade in Chicago, and met all these farmers who were actually, they were tobacco farmers by trade, but they were having to grow soybeans and sell them to pay the bills for their families because they'd lost out on big tobacco contracts and whatnot. And I dared them to grow me some of the best tobacco and see where that ended up. And I didn't really think
you
they
dared
took
them to grow you.
I didn't think they took me seriously, but they did. And that was the nexus of Hestia Tobacco.
Wow. That's a pretty unique story. My question is, do you use your own product?
I do.
Okay. Just making sure, right? Some people don't even use their own product.
Really?
Some people don't.
That's fascinating.
Right? I mean, I'm trying to think of examples. Maybe like, this is a ridiculous example that just came to mind. Maybe like a guy that makes diapers. Okay. That would be an example. That's a ridiculous example, but that was like, for some reason, the first
one. I'll give that guy a pass.
That guy gets the pass. What do you feel like has been the hardest part about getting started?
Easily the hardest part of getting started was getting through the FDA.
Okay.
So I started the company right at the time that the government took control, the FDA took control of tobacco. So they don't regulate alcohol. That's ATF, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. Mm-hmm. And that's what used to be the regulatory board. And in 2009, The tobacco industry was handed over to the FDA for regulation. And so they are trying to subject it. It's a process that they're still trying to figure out, but they're pretty much trying to regulate it in the same way that they regulate new drugs coming to market.
So is this a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a very good thing for the two companies that control the market. Mm. And it's a very bad thing for anyone trying to break into the space.
Okay.
Because it's, as I was saying, the level of regulatory framework and structure that's necessary to bring a product to market is the same as bring a new medical drug. And now there are clear differences in a tobacco product and a new drug.
Pharmaceutical
industry. Yeah. So they're using the same rubric. And so it's very difficult and challenging as the government also tries to figure out how to best work that, but it's very onerous.
So that's the toughest part about getting started. What about from like a personal perspective? That's more like the business stuff. What about the personal stuff? Because I feel like a lot of times that's what holds people back too, is it's their mindset, it's their limiting belief, it's they don't have the money, they don't have the resources, the education, the people.
Yeah, so I guess I kind of fell into it. I didn't always know that I wanted to be an entrepreneur, but I always enjoyed creating things. And so, you know, I'd been to law school and didn't want to be a lawyer. I was working for a fund, and it all kind of came together as I was working with these farmers and seeing their vision and really wanting to be a voice for that and get it out there. And sure. I mean, I own a tobacco company and I'm proud of it. And I think we do a lot of good things. My mother, I was homeschooled growing up, and she on Saturday mornings would bake a lot of bread and put it in the back of a wagon for me to go wheel around the neighborhood and sell the bread to my neighbors, because she always wanted me to have like an entrepreneurial spirit. Yeah. So I guess laying the breadcrumbs. That's a good one.
I love that. Well, I think that it's interesting to always hear people's stories about, you know, what their past environments and conditioning was that led them to be an entrepreneur, which is why I asked. We've got the CEO of Hestia Tobacco, David Slay, joining us. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. My question for you is, has there been a time yet, as inevitably there is for most entrepreneurs on their journey, where you felt like giving up?
Absolutely.
Where you felt like it's time to go and get a job again, which would be the worst thing ever?
Absolutely. I was working at ADM, Archer Daniels Midland, and the section that I was working on was sort of regulated out of existence. So I had originally hoped to sort of build Hestia into something while part-time, like most entrepreneurs. Yeah. And then as it gained footing and traction and reception, then I could perhaps jump and leave to it full-time. But my section of ADM was closed, and so I was forced out. And I ended up actually living with my parents for a couple years. So that's a very humbling thing when you're first starting out and
doing what you got to do as an entrepreneur.
Yeah. And you go from, you know, working in the finance sector to living with your parents in one fell swoop. Yeah. And it sobers you up real quick.
Hey, and Mark Cuban used to eat ketchup sandwiches, and other people just eat top ramen for 7 years. And those are some of the people that became billionaires. So, you know, you go through those humbling experiences, but I think you come out on the other end if you persevere and you come out better and stronger. Has there been a mentor that has impacted your life? Could be parents, could be Tony Robbins, could be somebody, right?
My maternal grandfather was, he started an oil company and was one of the first to figure out how to do slant drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. He always inspired me and taught me a lot about how to run a business and how to be an employee, really, so much as even being a boss. And I think you have to be a really good employee if you want to be a boss. So,
why do you believe that?
Because you have to know the chain of command. You have to know where your role is, and you have to feel. I know that Mark Cuban said a lot about this, but you have to always, in any decision that you make, you have to think of how it's going to affect everyone down the line. Mm.
So, how do you build a successful brand? Because you have to, for what you're doing.
Absolutely.
I would say for almost every business, the dream scenario is you build a brand. Nike is not worth their $1 billion valuation because they make shoes from China. But they do it because of the brand. The swoosh is where the value is. Coca-Cola is it's their recipe, but it's the Coca-Cola brand. So you're building a brand.
I am.
What is the hardest part about building a brand? What are some things like advice, like, oh, we blew it when we were doing this, building our brand. This is what you need to avoid. This is what you should do. A lot of people out there have companies, they don't have brands.
The hardest part is figuring out your core values and sticking to it. And it's not easy to stick to it because there's always an easy buck to be made. I mean, yeah. I get pitched at least once a month, if not more often, on taking Hestia tobacco and distilling it into some kind of e-juice for an e-cigarette or this or that. And I mean, there's nothing really pure about that. There's not an organic experience. And so, and there's a lot of quick money to be made there.
So that devalues the brand.
Right. And so you figure out what you stand for. And obviously, we just stand for pure, authentic tobacco, you know, as pure, as best as we can make it.
Yeah.
And that means you can't cut any corners. So you can't take the easy money. And There are those core values, and you stick to them, and you hammer them home, and you make sure that your customers know them and resonate with them, and they'll find you. There are folks in this country and around the world who just want, you know, look, they choose to use tobacco, and then they choose to enjoy it, and we give them the best possible product.
How do you decide? And this is a finance question. How do you decide the price?
Really, we have much higher input costs because we're much lower volume and we pay more for our tobacco. And we...
So that's what I'm saying. There's got to be a higher price.
Right. But I can't say I really look to where the market was per se. I mean, there's taxes built in that you can't get around.
Yeah.
But really, we just find what our input costs are and find, you know, a profit margin for us and let the customers take it from there. So I know that sometimes there's sort of that reverse psychology effect of raising the price of something so more people think it's rarer or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to be authentic and make the purest product I can. And in some, because so we're incorporated in Nevada, we pay taxes in Nevada. And so in certain states, we're more expensive than our competition. And in other states, we're less expensive because we're normalized across the country.
Okay. And are you in all 50 states?
Yes, we can ship to all 50 states. Okay. So distribution is something we're working on, but we can do drop shipping because we are a cigar. And so we don't adjust the prices by where it's going based on whatever, because we only pay taxes in Nevada corporately. And so that's how we got our pricing. We just, we took our input costs, which were much higher, and factored in the taxes and our profit margin and went from there.
That's fantastic. I was just reading one of the quotes on the back here, which...
Yeah, we rotate our quotes. It's fun.
You read it up. So is there on there on all of them or just on those ones?
Only on these. We're actually kind of cycling away from this because we're having smaller packs, but it's been a fun thing. It's from Steps by Frank O'Hara. Oh God, it's wonderful to get out of bed and drink too much coffee and smoke too many cigarettes and love you so much. Which is a paean he wrote to the city of New York.
Interesting. Why'd you choose to put quotes in the back? Just something to be different?
I was, I'm an avid reader and I love literature. And so I found quotes that I liked. I mean, the whole project has basically been my passion project. And so things I like end up in some capacity in the brand.
Well, last question as we wrap up. If you had to start over completely, what industry would you get into? What product would you want to sell?
Oh, you mean to start over
completely. You couldn't get back in this industry.
Oh, I can't do tobacco.
You can't do tobacco. If you had to start over from scratch, what would you want to get into? Virtual reality, tech, software?
No, I'd probably just make a bourbon.
Make a bourbon?
Yeah.
Okay, love it. So if somebody says, I want to learn more about you, I want to go to your website, maybe I want to order a pack of these, where can they do that?
HestiaTobacco.com.
HestiaTobacco.com. David, thanks for coming on the show.
It's been a pleasure.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we connect a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at BusinessRockstars.com.
Have you ever watched Shark Tank or The Prophet and thought to yourself, I have a great idea, but don't know how to get it started? Or you have a startup or a small business that you want to take to the next level? Business Rockstars is going to help you to launch your idea or take your business to the next level with Startup Bootcamp, a free webinar that features big CEOs, your blueprint on how to launch a business in 90 days, cool entrepreneurial tech tools, how to get funded, and mentors that can help you launch and grow your business. Business Rockstars is giving you this video webinar free. Just go to businessrockstars.com and enter the promo code radio. That's businessrockstars.com with promo code radio. This Business Rockstars video webinar is free for the first 1,000 to sign up. Learn how to launch or grow your business now. Go to businessrockstars.com, promo code radio. That's businessrockstars.com, promo code radio for this free webinar. That's businessrockstars.com, promo code radio.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Hispanic entrepreneurs are confident about their 2019 business outlook, according to the 2019 Bank of America Hispanic Small Business Owner Spotlight. A strong majority are planning for increased revenue, expansion, and long-term growth. However, low unemployment is creating obstacles for Hispanic business owners looking to recruit and retain talent. Elizabeth Romero, Small Business Executive at Bank of America.
Hispanic entrepreneurs are embracing a more confident outlook toward growth compared to their non-Hispanic peers. However, the ultra-competitive labor market has made hiring and retaining employees a significant challenge.
Optimism is also paving the way for future generations of Hispanic business owners. 34% of Hispanic entrepreneurs say their business has grown beyond their original vision, and 38% plan to pass their business on to their children. For more information,
I'm Laurel Mintz, Senior Business Rockstars Correspondent and CEO of Elevate My Brand. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs worldwide daily on radio, TV, and online. I'm here with Jennifer Burson of Generation PR and Generation Academy. Jen, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So everyone wants to be in PR. How did you get into this world?
Oh, I have kind of a non-traditional career path. So I actually started out in civil litigation. You and I have that in common.
Yeah.
I'm an attorney also, and I practiced for about 4 years, and it just felt more like a job to me than a career. I know you kind of probably understand that distinction, and I just felt like there was a more kind of creative path and a path where I could be my own boss. And I started working for a brand on the side, unpaid, promoting
while
a fragrance
you were attorney?
Company while I was an attorney.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was kind of doing double duty. And I just loved the work so much, even though I wasn't making any money doing it, I was kind of promoting a brand unpaid on the side. And I said, if I can do this full time, this would just be the perfect fit for me personality-wise. And I would be excited to go to work every day. And so I started to explore options for how I could make a career out of this. Do I go work for an agency? What does that look like? What resources are available to a person that wants to run a business like this? And I just decided I'm going to start my own company.
How did that brand find you, or did you find the brand?
I found the brand, actually. So it was a fragrance company, and I found them on my bar trip. So after you take the bar, you know, you go to, like, Europe or
Asia. Yes, I did Greece.
Greece, yep. Okay. Yep. I went to Italy and all over Europe. Very lucky to get to do that. And you kind of go crazy before you start practicing. And while I was there, I discovered a little fragrance company. And when I ran out of it, I searched everywhere to find this company and finally realized that they were based in California, which is where I am. And I loved it so much. And I said, why doesn't this brand have any presence here? Nobody knew about it. The marketing concept of the brand was so beautiful and it merchandised really well. And I just had all these ideas for how I could help this brand get increased sales, and it just came to me with this one particular company. I just had such a connection to it. So I reached out to the owner. I wrote her this, you know, passionate plea, please let me support you in some way. I won't ask for any money, but I will need product. You know, I thought she's going to think I'm a crazy person that just wants some free stuff. Mm-hmm. But she said, I think that'd be a great idea. Let's give it a try. And sent me this huge box of lotions and perfume, and it was like—
And you were happy, happy girl.
Loved it,
so
it was great.
So you fell into being an entrepreneur, or did you kind of have that inside you the whole time?
I think that I had it inside me the whole time. So my dad has his own business, and I just grew up in a household where my parents were always available to me, you know, whether we were doing sports or going to art classes or having family dinners together. And when I was an attorney, I didn't see a lot of my peers or a lot of my role models having a similar family life that I ultimately wanted to have. And so just looking at my father as a model, I knew that I wanted some way where I could be present for my children. And at the time, I didn't have kids. I wasn't even married. But I saw the path and knew that I wanted to create an environment for myself where I could have the kind of balance. I know that word's a little controversial and tricky because you never have perfect balance, but as close to the family and work life setup that I was hoping to achieve.
Connecting a community of entrepreneurs worldwide on the radio, TV, and online. I'm Laurel Mintz, and this is Business Rockstars. I'm here with Jennifer Burson with Generation PR and Generation Academy. Let's talk a little bit about the leap from creating the PR agency and the academy. It's really cool what you're doing. You're productizing basically what you have learned over the years of being in PR, which is so invaluable. Where was that journey? How was that leap made?
Well, I've been running my agency for 11 years, and it's great. It's going, you know, very strong, stronger than ever, I would say, and which is really exciting. And I get asked a lot of the same questions all the time from entrepreneurs. And, you know, at some point, there's just the balance of time spent to be with my family and time spent that's dedicated to my clients. And I love talking with entrepreneurs, but I wanted to find a way where I could talk to more people and support more people. But, you know, one-off conversations, they take a lot of time. And
absolutely.
I was finding that I couldn't have all these, you know, conversations with a lot of people. So I actually started a Facebook group and put it out there just to connect with people. And didn't expect it would take off the way that it did, but it's grown tremendously. And there's entrepreneurs from all over the world. And what's been really exciting is that they're all supporting each other. And it's this really strong community, but I'm learning what entrepreneurs need. So it's all stages of their business and the support at the beginning and how to create a marketing plan and how to implement a PR strategy, how to connect with social influencers,
so important,
how to integrate social media marketing. And so we're providing free live training and just giving as much value as we can to this community. And then I started to realize, you know, I have a lot of expertise and experience to offer. And so the way that I could potentially put it out into the world is to create courses where I can teach people the exact strategies and steps that they need to implement.
And it's so much more scalable. I mean,
yes,
it's good for you because it means that you can teach that to more people.
Yeah.
And it's so necessary. I love what you said about giving, right? You're giving this to your community. You're offering them tips and tools that otherwise they would not have access to. And you're doing what your kind of big picture vision is. I think you're kind of like a unicorn.
Well, we'll
see. Most publicists like hold that information back. They don't want to share that information. Why is that?
I never worked at a PR agency. I just kind of did my own thing.
Maybe
and
that's
I
the
feel
difference.
Like, yeah, and I feel like people have helped me along the way, and I've had mentors, and I've had people come to me and ask for advice and strategies, and I'm happy to share. I just feel like there's enough work to go around. And I feel like when you create a community of supportive people around you, it only helps you and elevates your own brand.
Thank you for the name drop. I appreciate that.
Tying it all back in there.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I like to have a collaborative community, and the more you give, the more that comes back to you.
I totally agree with that. It's a complete cycle. I really think it's so smart that you recognize, you know what, I can only give so much being an agency, right? I mean, you had a team and you were working with some really, really big brands. Actually, can you share with us some of those brands? Or are you not allowed to share that on the air?
No, I think I can. So we work with a lot of baby and kids brands. So mm-hmm. I actually started, my first client was a company called Little Giraffe, a very upscale, luxurious baby blanket and mm-hmm. accessories manufacturer.
Pretty much everyone has one of those now.
And yeah. Had a lot of success with some celebrity seating and celebrities using the products and a lot of press. So kind of developed an expertise for my company there. And so we represent Skip Hop, which is a huge international brand. Really excited to be working with that brand and just brands all over the world. I have a Canadian
company,
Lulu Joe Baby.
You are just all
beauty brands,
over the place. I love it.
Beauty brands
so
as well.
Great.
That's my passion.
So great. Lifestyle and beauty. Connecting a community of entrepreneurs worldwide on radio, TV, and online. I'm Laurel Mintz, and this is Business Rockstars.